Welcome to Two Tipsy Plants, the podcast where we talk about plants and drink booze. My name is Sasha.
Wow, I am impressed. My name is Sasha.
Well, that's just the magic of vacation, and it kind of brings your brain back to normal.
Magic of, oh, vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, I just came back from Australia.
Australia.
Yeah. That was quite lovely. We went around Australia, had all the wineries visited.
Talk louder.
Huh?
Talk louder.
We have visited a lot of wineries.
It was so exciting.
All right. So, in today's podcast, we will be talking about pet-friendly plants. Essentially, it's going to be a guide.
Oh, are you talking about pet-friendly? Because I've done my research in poisonous plants, so like...
Well, sorry, not pet-friendly.
All about plants that will... And your pets, yes, I guess.
Yeah, I did not actually do the research in pet-friendly plants. I actually did the research into the plants that are not friendly for
your
pets.
Well, there you go, yeah. So,
so yeah,
we'll be...
Shake that table for me.
We'll be talking mostly about the plants that are poisonous to your pets, just to make sure that you can keep your pets away from them or keep your plants away from your pets. It's just because both of us, we have... Each a dog and each two cats, actually. And you also have fish, but I guess that doesn't really apply to
fish.
It's
fine. I have two aquariums at some point. I'll just give you one.
No. My cats will be fishing that fish out. So, yeah.
I thought that's going to be the case, but my cats just don't care about it.
I know that mine will. Anyway.
Anywho.
Before we start talking about those poisonous plants, what is the poison of choice for today, Sasha?
The poison of choice for today... is going to be wine. It's white wine. It's organic wine from Gisborne, from Milton. It's serious white. Not serious black, but serious white.
Like, actually, it's spelled like serious.
Yeah, it is spelled like serious.
Serious white.
And the thing is that I just got it. Like, I had this bottle for at least a month. And I just clicked that that's like similar to serious black.
For all of those Harry Potter fans out there and the Wizarding World fans.
Yeah, so this wine is called Crazy by Nature, Serious White from Gisborne, and the vintage is 2020. The grapes used for this wine is Chardonnay, Viognier, and Marsan. Gives this wine a warm, ripe apricot flavors, notes, with lifted acidity, and it also is scented like peach and honeysuckle. At least that's what they say on the website for the wine. I think we will be the judge of what it tastes and smells like.
Did you do that oof sound instead of the cork sound, like the sound?
Maybe.
Do you see the second glass? Good job, Sasha. Good job. The glass is right behind Sasha's laptop, and somehow he managed to get it right.
Талант не пропьешь.
You can't. That translates to you can't drink your talent away.
Is she stinky?
Very. Like a very big bouquet of different fragrances / smells, yes.
Mm. That's what you get from the skin contact stuff.
I like the smell.
I'm not sure. It smells very like yeasty. And I definitely know a lot about, like, it smells like yeast from at the brewery when you've done processing your beer and you discard the dead yeast. That's how it smells like.
I don't know. I smell honey.
Honey. After the honey episode.
Honey is like, we're not going to have any honey for another decade.
But yeah, there is like honey sweetness, like that thing that tickles your nose when you smell honey.
It's very fresh. I don't really like wines where there is a lot of grapes in it, but this is actually not bad.
Yeah, it's quite a bit balanced, light acidity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Lifted acidity, as they say on the website. Mm.
Well, I do
definitely like not sweet.
No, I do like my wines a bit sort of crisp and dry. So yeah, I like that. Nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
I would agree with the nectarines and apricots, and
definitely, especially you know what it is. It's not just the taste; it's that tartness, like
yes.
The, you know, after you finish
on skins. Or
I feel like the actual pulp, like after you finish eating the apricot, you have this like nice texture in your mouth.
Texture, yeah. It's well-textured wine.
Mm. All right, would you... So I think the way we've prepared for this episode is Sasha did his research mostly on the houseplants.
Yes.
Am I correct? Yes. And I did my research on the only a few garden plants, but I will also talk about some plants that are in your garden in general as well, just because there are so many plants that can be poisonous to both you and your dog and your cat.
I also just now kind of clicked that we should have done the research on the plants that the cut flowers that people will actually...
I've got that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've got that as well. I've got that covered. Everything is covered. Don't you worry.
And your plants that are toxic to your pets should be covered as well.
Oops.
Basically, when you're talking about toxic or poisonous plants for your pets, you're definitely going to take your point your look towards arums or aroids, which are your different types of lilies and your monsteras, philodendrons, and all of the vining plants that you find in tropics. They usually are the most poisonous ones, and they will have different types, but the class and the family is going to be the same for them. The best example, let's start with the common specimen of aroid family, which is Monstera, aka Monstera deliciosa, aka...
Hint, hint, wink, wink, next
yes.
episode.
aka Swiss cheese plant, yep. aka she is in every house and on every bookshelf.
She has invaded everything.
Stop quoting my article.
I didn't even read your article, but okay.
I'm heartbroken now.
Aww.
But yeah, common toxicant in all aroids will be calcium oxalate, which is a crystal which, when ingested, ends up having immediate burning effects on your palate, on you, like all of your mucus.
Okay.
All of your,
yeah, all mucus, your
yeah.
mucusy membranes.
Mucusy linings.
yeah.
Will be burning, painful. It will swell. And if you swallow it, it will obstruct your breathing as well. So it is kind of deadly and very unpleasant.
Mm.
Also, I have included the toxicity score, like out of 1 out of 10. This one probably will be an 8. You commonly can find monsteras in Central and South America. The other good candidates for the same name and from the same family will be all varieties of philodendrons, even your common heart-shaped philodendron.
Are you saying that they are sometimes misconcepted and confused with monsteras? Is that what you're saying? Or are you talking
it's
about
just because
the poisonous...
The poisonous plants, but they are all in the same family,
yep.
which is aroids. But just for people who don't know what aroids are,
yep.
I'm just going to give examples of what
yep.
are the aroids, which are monsteras, philodendrons. Examples of philodendrons will be like a heart-shaped philodendron and your Florida philodendron, Epipramnum, which was also known as Pothos recently.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was reclassified. So it's your marble queens, it's your devil's ivy, Diefenbachias.
Oh, was it reclassified?
Yeah.
They need to stop doing that.
Diefenbachias, which is dumb canes.
Mm-hmm.
That one, if you circle back to our previous episode, it was used as
torture.
Is a torture device or also a toxic agent for arrows.
Tell me something. So what I found with my research is pretty much if the plant, like a general rule of thumb, if the plant is poisonous to you, it is 99.9% poisonous to your pet.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just the difference will be that pets will be probably suffering more than you will because the body mass is a little bit more for you
yeah.
rather than for your pets.
Yeah.
So whatever will give you diarrhea will be a little bit more severe
well,
on your
yeah,
pets.
Well, yeah, you are correct. It depends on the amount of the poisonous chemical that you've ingested per like kilogram of your
yeah.
body mass. Yeah. And the severity of the...
Yeah.
What are they called?
Severity of a toxin.
No, severity of...
Symptom?
Symptom, yeah.
Yep. And just two more, which is anthuriums, which all of your different types of anthurium, which like crystallinum, magnificum, and your typical
box store
ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the tetraspermus, which is like mini monsteras and dragon tails.
Okay.
Okay. Sasha, hit me with something.
Boom. So I kind of did plants, specific plants that I... Some of them were quite obvious, some of them were not obvious, but I also did a few natives as well. But as I said, I'll cover some plants in general too. So do you know what a black locust is?
Black locust?
Yeah.
It's
also called a false acacia.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the insect.
No. You had it growing outside of your previous place as well, the robinia.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that robinias are actually poisonous. So robinia pseudoacacia, that's the botanical name of it. Pseudoacacia obviously
means... But
that's
the tussock, right?
No, it's the tree. The tree that spreads by suckers as well. You had it growing just outside of your place.
I can't remember.
It's like a fine-leafed tree with white flowers, like white sort of pea-looking flowers.
Yeah.
So it is native to a few areas in the United States. It has been naturalized in a lot of temperate regions, such as North America, Europe, and South Africa, and Asia. But funny enough, like in countries like Australia, let's say, a cultivar called Freesia is a pest. And it used to be planted as a street tree before. So,
let's just start count every time it used to be planted as a street tree or as a fence. And now it's kind of, it's a pest. Why did we do that? We don't know.
Yeah. Well, because there wasn't, I guess, enough evidence that it would spread that fast. But because robinia is spread by seed and also suckers, it just, if the conditions are preferable for it, it will just go nuts.
Hint, hint, wink, wink, course.
So the poisonous parts of the plants are the bark, leaves, wood, and they are toxic to both humans, livestock, and obviously your pets. So the plant has a chemical called toxaburnin, which is a toxic protein that disables ribosomes, and pretty much it kind of inhibits your protein synthesis. So, and it does it for the multiple organs and systems in your body and your pet's body, obviously. So all parts are very poisonous to dogs, but especially the most poisonous parts are the seeds and the bark. And obviously dogs like
chewing
on branches and stuff. Some cats do like it as well. So make sure that your dogs don't play in robinias or with robinia twigs. Most sort of the worst damage that can happen to your dog or to you if you decide to nibble on some berries, on some seeds, is kidney failure.
Kidney failure? Sorry. What is a kidney failure?
No, kidney failure. Kidney failure. God damn it. So the symptoms are sore throat and mouth, partly bloody vomiting, severe abdominal pain, partly bloody diarrhea, severe reduced urine output, which obviously means that your kidneys are not working, muscle cramps and muscle twitching. Death may occur due to failure of the kidneys, as I said. So where you can find it is usually it is in New Zealand, at least.
Bookstores.
Well, you can still buy it. Like it's a. Don't get me wrong. It's a pretty plant, but if you have dogs who love to eat everything, probably don't plant it in your garden. It has been used as a street tree as well in some areas. And as I said, it is a garden feature. Some fun facts. Apparently, the wood is extremely hard and has been used for like furniture making and stuff. It is used as a traditional medicine in India, and it is used as a laxative, antispasmodic, and diuretic. Yeah. Also, apparently, the young pods of the black locust are edible, but I would say don't eat it.
Don't try it.
Oh yeah, it's been it's been cooked in some area in France, actually, in Italy. The flowers are eaten as like the starter, and they are coated and battered and then fried in oil. And in Japan, it is actually eaten as a tempura.
Nice.
But it's poisonous as hell, so...
trust Japanese to try to eat something poisonous, aka fugu.
Well, I guess, like, you know how with a lot of poisons, like if you actually cook it, it gets rid of the toxin?
Yeah,
but I don't think
it breaks it down to a simpler toxin, which is more digestible.
Yeah, but I guess it's just there is not enough studies about this particularly. Yeah, But yeah, that's just one tree that I didn't even think could be poisonous. But there you go. Please keep your pets away from Robinia pseudo acacia, also known as false acacia.
Well, let's see now if you will guess what this plant is.
Mm-hmm.
Often, this plant is often used in everyday life for its healing properties. It contains toxic compound called...
Aloe vera.
Yes. The toxic compound is called aloin. The severity of a toxicity depends on the cultivation conditions and the leaf processing. Like, because you can find it in some of the drinks, you can find it as the jellies.
So this is one of the plants that is actually not... Well, okay, it can be toxic to humans if you eat too much of it. But I guess it is one of those plants that is technically not poisonous to humans, but is poisonous to your pets.
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you would not be nibbling on it straight from the tree, because even in the articles it says it needs to be prepared correctly in order not to cause any discomfort to you, let alone your pets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, yeah, if you have aloe in your house, you probably wouldn't be chewing on it straight away. I do remember, though, cutting a little leaf and putting it on your skin to, like...
Oh, yeah, that's very, very much like grandma remedy.
Yeah, very Soviet sort of grandma remedy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the cultivar name is Aloe berberdensis Miller, and the toxicant again is aloin. Mm-hmm. This score will be 3 out of 10. It is common in Arabian Peninsula. The symptoms will be diarrhea if ingested incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
Yeah. Cookie shit stuff. Cookie shit, guys.
Question. I can't remember if aloe has spikes on it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I guess it's a good thing, because I guess dogs and cats don't really like chewing on spiky things, but... I guess it depends on the size of a dog. Because, like, I think my dog wouldn't probably do it, but your dog might, because your dog is just
cats
much
also
bigger.
Quite weird ones. They will be nibbling on whatever just does not look appetizing.
Our friends, actually, have a Maine Coon who eats every single thing. She, from what the guys told us, she's nibbled on, like, the handles of the windows. So, yeah, I guess having a cat like that and plants that are dangerous could be...
Well, yeah,
a dangerous
if your cat
mix.
Is the size of a dog.
Yeah, but no, I mean, some cats... Because I've heard stories. My cats, like, they don't eat anything that they're not supposed to. They only eat, like, meat or something. Mm. You know, if you leave bones out, they'll definitely try to nibble on that. But they wouldn't eat plants, which is great.
Yeah, the only plants that my cat have eaten is... oxalis, which has oxalic acid in it, which means it's a little bit sour. So,
I guess she tried and then she's like, eh.
No, she will just keep on eating it. Obviously, right. She likes it. It's like a vitamin C kind of substitute.
Mm.
And the other thing that a lot of cats probably enjoy to nibble on is the spider plant, which is not toxic. So, it's
well,
fine.
Yeah, because I guess because it's hanging and it's like, you know, it's playful. Yeah. Cool. Okay. The next one that I'd like to cover is the deadly nitrate and just nitrates in general. So for people who don't know, nitrates is a family of plants and it actually includes a lot of plants in it. So
even edibles?
Even edibles as well. Just give me a second.
So yeah, while you're looking, the edibles one example will be capsicums, tomatoes.
That's exactly what I was looking for. So the nitrate family, which is Solanaceae, it includes potatoes, which are edible to us, but we don't eat the greens of it,
yeah.
Which are poisonous, actually. Tomatoes, eggplants, Jimson weed, tobacco, wolfberry, chili peppers, mandrake, actually. Are you trying to mimic the mandrake sound from Harry Potter? Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of edibles that we can consume are actually nitrates, and they are poisonous to dogs. But the most poisonous one to both us and the dogs and the cats is the deadly nitrate, also known as Atropa belladonna. We have talked about it before in
poisonous
a few
plants,
episodes.
Yeah. Also, the fun fact about potatoes, I think, I can't remember what century it was, but when it was first introduced to Europe, they have tried to eat the tops of the potatoes, but not the bulbs, because they didn't know that they can eat the bulbs. So everybody was falling sick.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. So
somebody really fucked up with explanation of the product.
Yeah. The actual belladonna / deadly nightshade plant is native to Europe and Western Asia, including Turkey. Its distribution is quite wide, from like Ukraine to Iranian province, and obviously it has been naturalized in a lot of regions, including New Zealand. All parts of belladonna. So belladonna is, you probably can recognize that plant. It usually grows in shady parts of your garden. Like, I'm pretty sure we had some growing behind the shed in our previous place.
It's very weedy. It's everywhere.
It kind of looks like a tomato plant, but with tiny little black tomatoes, call it that way. Like, the berries are like tomato likes. Like,
but like pea size, if that. Maybe smaller than pea size.
Yeah. Belladonna, like most of the nightshade plants, contains tropane alkaloids, which are very, very poisonous to your pits. So the reason why the plant has those alkaloids is it uses it as a natural defense against the insects, which might eat that plant. But obviously, it really, really doesn't want any insect to try to eat it. If your animal consumes belladonna, it is very poisonous to us, but obviously for a smaller animal, it may cause narcosis and paralysis. However, fun fact, cattle and rabbits eat the plant, and apparently it has no effects on them.
Well, because they know what variety of nightshade to eat, because some
the belladonna.
The belladonna itself. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Did not know that. I sort of...
Well, cattle is quite big, so...
Yeah, but rabbits. I guess they have something in their stomach that can process maybe that.
They have a very
toxin?
Resilient digestive system, I guess.
Yeah. So the symptoms of ingestion of belladonna are accelerated breathing, thirst, difficulty swallowing, dilated pupils, which I'll actually talk about in a moment as well, palpitations, stomach pain, constipation, problems with urination, fever, cramps, movement and consciousness disorders, and death may occur due to respiratory paralysis.
I love that sometimes the symptoms contradict each other. Like, it can cause diarrhea and constipation at the same time. So
which makes it so difficult to sort of pinpoint what you've been poisoned by, right?
Mm. It's like, how do you get constipation and diarrhea at the
you
same time?
You probably have constipation.
You form
and then
a cork in your butt and then you just shoot it out.
Yep. So, speaking of dilated pupils, do you know why the plant is called belladonna?
I think it was like hallucinogenic a little bit.
Yes, and also belladonna means pretty woman, right? And apparently it was used for women to consume to make their pupils look wider, thus prettier. So apparently looking high means you look prettier.
Well, so, cat eyes.
Yeah. So as I said, the areas where you can find it is usually it is like a weed in your garden, but also it grows in the bush and natural areas as just a ground cover in sort of shady to semi-shady areas. But yeah, apparently it has been used as a medicine. Obviously, they do something to it to make it medicinal rather than poisonous. It has been used to poison people and animals.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, and apparently it has been used as a recreational drug as well. Disclaimer, please do not try to use any of the plants that we are talking about today as a medicine, poison, or recreational drug. Thank you.
Alrighty. So the next plant on my list of the houseplants will be ficus.
Mm.
Be that ficus benjamina, ficus lyrata, ficus elastica, also known as a rubber plant.
I will add to it any ficus, including the fig tree that grows outside as well. Yep. Like your fig fruit. Mm.
The sap of the ficus plant contains ficin, a proteolytic enzyme. While these plants are prized for their beauty and just everything, they're very stunning plants, to be honest.
Well, they're also very easy to take care of, so that's why a lot of people who have houseplants have them, because you know, you just literally water it like every, I don't know, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I kind of forget about mine.
Mm.
But the sap that they produce will cause skin irritations and is not recommended for ingestion for sure, because toxicity score will be around 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the side effects will be same as with poisoning by calcium oxalate, which is burning pains, swelling, difficulty breathing. Please don't eat it.
Well, don't make sure you keep it away from your pets as well. Because I guess because the leaves are so hard and big, it could be quite attractive to your pets, especially dogs, to nibble on it and chew it, because it looks quite chewy.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you've done a better job than I did.
I tried. The fun fact, ficin, even being that poisonous, it is used in manufacturing. Purified ficin is used in making cheese and sausage casing and chill-proofing your beer.
Chill-proofing your beer.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Is that it about ficuses?
That is it about ficuses. Nice. Besides the fact that they also grow humongous.
Because you would probably have your ficuses on the floor just because they're so big.
Yeah.
You'd keep them on the floor. So just be aware that your pets might want to nibble on it.
And every time when you are trimming / pruning your ficus, or your dog, being happy as my puppy is, knocks the leaf off, make sure that...
Yeah, Rosie has a killer tail. She knocks everything off around her. Yeah.
Yeah, just make sure that the sap from the tree does not get anywhere near the eyes or nose or mouth of your pet.
Well, I guess even not on their fur, because like if they start cleaning themselves. Yeah. Especially cats, because that's what they do. Mm. Right. The next plant that I'd like to talk about is Buxus sempervirens, which is your common Buxus, your common box, your hedging plant. So Buxus sempervirens, the common box, European box or boxwood, is a species of flowering evergreen plants that are native to Western and Southern Europe, North Africa and South Asia, from southern England south to northern Morocco. And also it can be found in Mediterranean regions. I honestly did not know that it could be poisonous to your dogs. For those who don't know, Buxus is pretty much, if you imagine like a very manicured English garden that has those sort of boxed gardens that are boxed by short, very nicely clipped hedges, that's like 90% of it would be the Buxus.
Yeah, anything cottagey and like old England looking.
Yeah, yeah. So the primary toxin found in Buxus species is a bitter alkaloid called buxin. I know, right? So apparently, just a fun fact, this toxin is actually identical to berberine. And the berberine is the alkaloid found in the bark of bibiru tree, which is a Chirocardium ridaei.
What is so exciting about that plant?
Apparently that toxin, the bibiru, berberine, is used in medicine as a substitute to quinine, which is the compound that is obtained from cinchona trees to treat malaria.
Oh, okay.
Boy, we've talked about it.
I know, it's been like a month and a half. Give me a break. I just came from a vacation.
Aside. But yes, yeah, so the buxin is that toxic compound that is found in the Buxus. While it is relatively safe for humans, it can be potentially toxic to animals such as dogs, cats, and horses. There have been reports of livestock eating the leaves of buxwood and developing profuse diarrhea, salivation, dehydration, and in some cases, seizures and death. The common symptoms include vomiting, abdominal pain, severe and sometimes bloody diarrhea. The ingestion of large amounts of boxwood may cause dehydration, movement disorders, muscle cramps, difficulty swallowing, circulatory collapse, coma, and death due to respiratory paralysis. So do not let your dogs and cats chew it. To be honest, from what I can see, mostly those hedges are actually used for dogs to pee on. Yeah.
I mean, they're not nice to chew on anyways.
They're square. But I guess, I mean, there has been recorded cases of, you know, animals dying from chewing it. But as I mentioned before, it is usually used as hedges or topiaries. You know, those fancy looking topiaries that are cut in funky shapes? That's usually boxes as well.
like I've always referred to it as topiaries. Topiaries.
No, it's topiaries. It's not topiaries. It's topiaries. Okay. It's just me pronouncing it wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah.
I was just thinking maybe it's a variety on a word. Yeah. Oh, that's fine. I'm not being.
It's a variety of Sasha that's having wine.
All right. The next houseplant will be any variety of Hoya.
Ah, oh, okay. Sorry, for some reason I had a moment remembering what Hoya is, and I'm like, duh.
Girl, literally.
I've got like three.
The three, and one of them looks like Christmas wreath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she grew it on a hoop. And
well, yeah,
awesome.
My husband made me a hoop, and it's suspended from a ceiling in the pot, and then the hoop is attached to the pot. It's actually quite beautiful. It's about to flower.
Yes.
And Sasha is like, I'm not going to come to your house because I'm allergic to it when it's flowering.
During the nighttime, apparently, that's when the smell of the Hoya flower is the most potent. I do feel a little bit hay feverish.
I actually wonder if Max has allergy to it. Max listens to our podcast, so let's check if you have allergies for it.
Alrighty. So the toxic plant of the toxic part of the plant is the milk sap. Just like in ficuses. It's low toxicity. I did not find what toxin it is. But yeah, as long as you don't let your pets nibble on it or don't drip any juices on your pets, Hoya juices.
But also like it's...
But for the flowers, I've actually looked at it. You can try the sap. Not the sap, sorry. You can try the... Because when
the
it flowers,
honeydew, call it that
honeydew,
way.
Honeydew, yeah. When it flowers, it secretes the sugar. What is it? It just looks like droplets.
Yeah.
On the flowers, but
they're
actually just sugar.
As hell, because like
sticky as, and you
can
taste it.
They keep actually dripping off the flowers. That's how much. Let's call it honeydew. That's how much that honeydew there is of it, because it keeps dripping down from my little wreath arranged Hoya, and Max keeps complaining about it.
Okay, that was Hoyas.
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 Right. The next plant that I'd like to talk about is something that I have in my garden, actually, as well, is a grape wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grapes are very poisonous to your pets.
Yeah, well, this is one of those plants that is not poisonous to humans, but is very poisonous to your pets.
Especially grape seeds.
Yeah. So, Vitis vinifera. Did you know that any cultivated grape is called Vitis vinifera, and any sort of wild grapes are called something else, like Vitis something else? So vinifera is pretty much whatever has been cultivated and domesticated. Yeah. It is a common grape wine. Obviously, it can be found in a lot of countries where you can actually have grapes growing in your garden, but also even the grapes that you buy from the supermarket can be poisonous to your dogs. The toxin that is found, apparently, actually nobody knows what it is, because there isn't enough research done on it, but it is linked to a kidney damage. So eating grapes could result in sudden kidney failure and even death. The toxic substance in grapes is unknown, as I've mentioned, but apparently dogs cannot metabolize tannins. So this is something that could also be very toxic to dogs in your grapes. Some of the symptoms include burning sensation in the mouth. I'm not sure how you can find it in dogs, but I guess they'll keep licking and sort of trying to lick it off in their mouths. Increased salivation, nausea, vomiting, stomach pain, diarrhea, and lethargy.
Yeah, I just did a quick research on what are typical toxins within the grape seeds, and it says tannins, the predominant one, residues of pesticides, and in small amounts, rare cases, cyanide.
Yeah.
Well, that's like apple seeds as well.
Well, yeah. So speaking of, you know, edible things that you can have in your garden, any stone fruit trees and apples could be very, very poisonous to your dogs, because the seeds of both apricots and
apples, peaches, everything stone fruit.
Yeah, every stone fruit and just other stones as well. They contain cyanide. Well, they contain a compound that gets
broken down into cyanide
in your stomach, pretty much. And obviously, for you, that amount of cyanide could not be poisonous, but for a smaller creature such as cat or dog, it could be very, very, very poisonous. A random thing, but I was doing this research yesterday and I was sitting there and have you ever actually opened a seed of like a peach and tried to eat whatever is inside that seed?
Yep.
Do you know that...
It's very bitter.
Yeah, but do you know that cyanide actually smells like almonds?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about it. And you know how your sense of smell is the most memorable sense in your head? And I was thinking about it and I was like, I remembered the smell of it. And then I was like, it actually smells like almonds when you open the little peach seed. It smells like almonds. And I was like, oh, actually cyanide smells like almonds, because that's apparently one way to hide it in cooking, is you make an almond cake. Yeah. Yeah, just a random thought that I had yesterday. But
and now I'm going to be very suspicious from the almond cakes that come from you.
But like, actually, yeah, I do make almond cakes. So the uses of the grapes and other edible trees are garden plants. Like you can have them in orchards, or even some people have it just growing in their garden. Obviously the fruit, wine, resins, and jelly. So just watch for those things and make sure your dogs and cats don't eat that. And other animals and pets that you might have.
Cool. Next plant on the list will be begonias. Be that Rex begonia or cane begonia.
That does include begonias that are outdoor begonias as well.
Mm. Yeah. And what is the toxin in the begonias?
Begonium. No.
It's again, calcium oxalate crystals. Okay. Just like in your aroids, like philodendrons and monsteras.
Okay.
So same shit, different toilet. Toxicity, 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was that easy.
Just do another one. Yeah.
I'm just going to do another one, which is the plant that both of us really dislike. It is Tresiscantia.
Wandering Jew?
Wandering Jew, or Quicksilver, or Pink Bubbles, or...
Like... Are Pink Bubbles a Tradescantia as well?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Mm. I do have it growing in my toilet, though, but it's like suspended in the ceiling, in my toilet, in the room, in the actual toilet bowl.
Yeah. So, yeah. Why we quite dislike it, because it's quite invasive species, and it's moderately toxic to your pets.
That's actually what I wanted to say as well, that it can be found in warmer regions in New Zealand.
Mm. Consumption can lead to skin issues and mild discomfort. To keep these trailing plants out of... just try to keep these trailing plants out of the paw reach and consider using the hanging planters or the higher shelves. But with Tradescantias, they grow so quick and they hang so low, and sometimes they break and fall.
That's actually, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. They break and fall because they can dry out, or they can break under their own weight. So,
and honestly, anything that is hanging and dangling is such a magnet for cats.
For cats, yeah. Yeah, mine is like super high, but also I'm quite lucky with my cats, because they don't seem to be attracted to any plants that I have, and I have a lot of hanging plants.
That actually brings me to the fact that I wanted to include in the conclusion, but I think I've been wanting to include it for a while already. So yeah, if you want to keep your plants and your pets away from each other, just make sure, like for example, for the cats and puppies, keep them stimulated. Why they are mischievous, they are bored.
Yes.
And they just see a perfect opportunity for plays and games while they are seeing anything tangling.
Oh, I can say that it's so difficult when you have a puppy that requires a lot of attention. It is so difficult to pay attention to the cats as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I completely agree with you. Like when Bolter, because when you get puppies, you can't take them out for usually about 8 weeks since you get them, because you can get them at 8 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the vaccinations, you have to wait until they're about 16 weeks old, depending on when you vaccinate them. Once we started taking him out for walks and get that stimulation
definitely
of, you know,
less mischievous.
Absolutely. And he's so nice. He's an absolute... Like darning. the best puppy you can ever have. But I, yeah, just wanted to, with my personal experience, just wanted to add to that, yeah, you need to keep them entertained. Because otherwise they try to entertain themselves with your plants. Yes.
But yeah, remember, a well-exercised and mentally engaged pet is less likely to explore potentially harmful foliage. And as a responsible pet owner, it's your duty to keep a close eye on your furry companions, especially if you introduce new plants into your home.
Yes, because novelty is everything to your pets.
Yeah. So Another few additional tips to consider. Regularly inspect your plants. Make it a habit to inspect your indoor plants for any sign of nibbling, dropping leaves, or displaced soil. Yeah, because not only plants can be toxic to your pets, but your pets can be toxic to plants, aka cats pissing in your pot. That's how I lost a couple of my monsteras.
Too much nitrogen.
too much nitrogen. Well, ammonia.
Yeah.
Choose pet-friendly alternatives, but if you really want to keep your indoor garden lush and variable, consider training your pets, consider fences, or consider trying the deterrents, like sprays.
If they didn't work for me. Didn't work for us either. Like, we used them for a different purpose. We got this new couch when we just moved into this place, when we bought this place. We got a really nice, expensive couch. And obviously, the kitties were like, ooh, a new scratch toy. So we got some sprays for them. One was to attract them to something else, and one was to deter them from the couch. And
that none of them worked.
Evil. Yeah, so...
So the only spray that works is water that you spray on the cat when it does something wrong.
Apparently, you spray with a bit of vinegar and it does work, but that means that your couch will be smelling like vinegar. So,
which I have nothing against. I like the smell of vinegar.
I don't like the smell of it. I don't mind it, but I don't like the smell of it. It just...
Yeah.
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 Okay. We will continue with the outdoor plants. So... As you've mentioned at the beginning, the cut flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much all of your bulbs that you grow in the garden that are your cut flowers, tulips, daffodils, hyacinth, crocus, lilies, lily of the valley are all...
Hypiastrums.
Hypiastrums are all very, very poisonous to your pits. So the...
Even the pollen.
Especially of the lilies. So yeah, like if you have lilies growing in your garden, make sure that if you have outdoor cats that they don't play with it, because the pollen, they might play with it and then they might lick themselves, and that could actually cause liver failure and kidney failure.
Yeah, try to prevent them rubbing on it as well.
Yes. So yeah, be very, very careful where your plants are. But in most cases, except for lilies, in most cases, but not all cases, the most poisonous part is the bulb itself. So if you have a dog who likes digging, if you have bulbs in your garden, especially freshly planted bulbs,
I was kind of stuck on the idea of a cat eating a bulb. I'm like, how did they get there? Oh yeah, dogs will dig it out.
Yeah. So just watch for that. Obviously, it's different poisonous compounds in different plants and different bulbs, but the symptoms are increased salivation, irritation of mucous membranes, swelling of mucous membranes, shortness of breath, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach pain, and difficulty swallowing. In very extreme cases...
Well, if left untreated.
Yes, well, if left untreated, or if there is like a lot consumed... the symptoms are palpitations, cardiac arrhythmia,
kidney failure probably,
decrease of urine flow, yes, and death may occur to A, kidney failure, and B, respiratory arrest. Yeah, no, it doesn't really cause any vomiting. Well, it can.
Diarrhea?
Diarrhea and vomiting can cause dehydration. Long time ago, when Mia, one of my cats, was still a kitten. Her kidneys failed, not to the point where she passed away from it, obviously, because she's still with us. But we think that it could be the carpet cleaner that we used, but potentially, because she's an outdoor cat, she does go outdoor. And when she was a kitten, she liked to explore further from like our backyard. Now she literally goes to just our backyard, or maybe a backyard over the fence. That's it. So... Yeah, her kidneys failed, and we spent a lot of money to bring her back to her normal self.
I thought she also considered that she could have stepped into the car oil or something like that.
No, a carpet cleaner. Huh. Yeah. So it could have been lilies that caused that damage, but it could have been some nasty people that put your antifreeze. They mix it with milk if they want to poison your cat, because antifreeze causes crystals forming on your kidneys, and the kidneys fail. So yeah,
watch out. Kidneys,
yeah. So just watch out for that. But yeah, we managed to get her to the vets at the right time, and they just put her on IV and washed all the toxins out of her. And she's a happy kitten and she's still with us. She's
and
now
cleaned from inside out.
Yeah, she's now 7 years old. And that happened to her when she was like literally less than a year. So, yeah.
She's such a cutie though.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is like, you know how a lot of people, they don't give, if their pet is sick, they don't give them a chance. They just euthanize them. But I'd say give them a chance. It's going to cost you money, yes, but it's going to be so much joy and so much happiness. Hmm. Anyway, let's not talk about sad stuff.
All right. Let's go from a little bit depressing, but real stuff that needs to be talked about sometimes, into the plants that are indoors, but can be found as well outdoors, depending on location that you're living in. The birds of paradise. For the Christchurch area, it's
mostly
very rarely can be found outdoors. Mostly indoors. When it's indoors,
exhibit A.
In my living room. The tropical looking Strelitzia nicolai, white bird of paradise.
Mm-hmm.
The whole plant is toxic for your pets and for you as well. The most toxic part of the plant will be the flower.
And the seeds, I'm assuming.
And the seeds, yes.
Yeah.
On toxicity scale, it is 7 out of 10, and it just has various toxins. I could not find anything more specific about that. Highly toxic and usually usually found in South Africa.
Well, I guess they are from South Africa.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and the other one that I wanted to bring up will be English ivy.
I actually thought of covering it as well, but English ivy kind of covers both outdoor and indoor. So yeah.
So yeah, typical toxin found in English ivy is pentacyclic terpenoids, which are 7 out of 10 toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
Will give you nausea, gastrointestinal discomforts. Does not sound too bad, but it's going to be the severity of that. Hedera helix is the typical scientific name for English ivy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. And that actually wraps up my indoor plants.
Cool. I actually have a few more plants, but I think I'll just keep it very short. I'll talk about one in a bit of detail. I have a few native plants to talk about, actually, New Zealand native plants. They can usually be found, most of them can be found in the bush when you are outside in the nature. But some of those native plants can be found in your backyard as well. The first one that I want to talk about is the one that is usually found in the bush. It is a tree nettle, a native tree nettle, which is called, well, its botanical name is Urtica ferox, commonly known as tree nettle. In Māori, it is called onga onga or oka oka, and it is a species endemic to New Zealand. Unlike most of your nettle species, they are usually herbaceous, sort of ground-covering short plants, where this is a tree nettle, so it grows up to about 3 meters. And the poison that is found in it is a trifidin, which is like it contains a few different hormones and toxins in it, and is a very powerful stimulant that actually can be quite paralytic to your nerve system and obviously to your pet's nerve system as well. So multiple stings can have very painful reaction with your skin. But also imagine a dog running through it with its nose, like how painful that would be. Yeah, and apparently there have been a couple of incidents, recorded incidents, in some cases actually caused death. A group of trampers developed loss of coordination for 3 days after being stung by a tree nettle.
Shit.
A typist developed tingling numbness in the hand after grasping a nettle bush, preventing her from typing for 5 days. Reports of severe headaches, blurred vision, and extreme fatigue after exposure to the tree nettle. And the most famous incident happened with a fatal poisoning, where a young man died of paralysis and respiratory problems.
How young?
I can't remember, but it was in 1961. It happened after several hours after walking through a patch of tree nettle. Yeah. So if you see something that looks like a massive tree nettle with a lot of like little spikes, do not go there. And it is widespread through North and South, and even Stewart Island in New Zealand. So, yeah.
I just wanted to add the plants that are surprisingly not poisonous for the in terms of indoors. I always thought that calatheas or any type of prayer plant like Maranthus will be quite poisonous. Apparently, they are not.
No, yeah.
Pilea epipramoides, which is the UFO plant or a friendship plant, because it just propagates so easy and just quickly. Also, not toxic to your
pits.
Thank you. Usually found in China.
Mm.
I'm like slowly running out of breath. I don't know why.
No, it's all right. I'll just quickly cover two more plants. So another one is called Karaka or New Zealand Laurel, which is Corynocarpus laevicatus, commonly known as Karaka, which is a evergreen tree found in New Zealand. It is endemic to New Zealand. It is mostly found in the North Island, but you can find it in the South Island and Banks Peninsula, which is very close to where we are in Christchurch. So apparently it's an evergreen plant with like a shiny leaf, and it produces orange fruit. So the orange fruit is, the actual pulp is actually edible. But if you eat fresh kernels, or your pet, obviously, if your pet eats fresh kernels, it actually contains a toxic alkaloid called carrageenan. And accounts from like the 19th century recalled extensive processing that was done on them by Maori to make them edible. But because there wasn't enough information on, you know, how long to process them or the process of actually processing them, a lot of deaths occurred.
The process of processing.
Yeah. But also, if your berries are not ripe enough, they can be toxic to you and your pets as well. And also, there is evidence that flowers may be narcotic or toxic to bees, causing bee loss and resulting in lower honey production.
They're just getting lazier.
It is actually a beautiful tree, but it is really sad to know that, you know, such a beautiful tree can be so harmful, not only to humans, to dogs, cats, pets, cattle, but also bees. And the last plant that I would like to talk about, which is another native, is a Nio, Myoporum laetum, which is another evergreen tree endemic to New Zealand. The flower of it kind of looks like Manuka flower. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like it doesn't have that star little shape in it. But apparently the leaves of the tree contain a liver toxin, nionine. I don't know how to pronounce it correctly.
Nine.
But it can cause sickness and death in stock and horses, cattle, sheep, and pigs, and obviously your doggies as well. So the leaves of that plant are quite oily. It has a lot of oils in them, and essential oil can cause liver damage. But a fun fact and a cool thing is if you take the leaf of Nio and you put it to the sun, you can actually see the little oil glands.
Mm.
Yeah, so next time you see it, you can do that, but wash your hands afterwards.
I'll just stay away.
Yeah. This is my spill on dangerous plants for your pets and for you, actually. I would like to add that this list is not finite.
That's not a complete list, by.
No, there are so many plants that are poisonous to your pets. I'd like to share a story. I'm a little bit embarrassed of that story, but I'll still share it. When I worked at my previous company as a garden consultant, we planted hydrangeas in one person's garden, and they were actually nice enough to call me and not blame me for anything, but they had two sausage dogs. Miniature sausage dogs that apparently liked to chew on plants. So they were vomiting and they had like very bad diarrhea. So the person rung me and she was like, "Hey, did you know that hydrangeas are poisonous to dogs?" And I was like, "I had no idea." So apparently if a bigger dog eats a hydrangea, like your dog, let's say Rosie, who is like 50 kgs, it probably won't hurt her, but because obviously that person had
mini sausages.
Too many Dutch hens, it's just... Mm. Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing, but, you know, you learn as you go. And the dogs are fine. They didn't, you know, they recovered, so they are fine. But, yeah, now you know.
Now we know. Well, thank you very much for listening. I think that's going to be our wrap for today.
Yeah.
And Sasha will do the
typical
spill.
That's a wrap on Two Tipsy Plants. Thank you for getting tipsy with us today and joining in on our plant-loving shenanigans. We hope we've inspired you to grab a glass of wine and give your leafy friends some extra love, and also give your fluffy friends some extra love as well. Keep them entertained so they don't attack your houseplants.
Keep them stimulated.
Yeah, houseplants or garden plants. Yeah. If you would like to help our podcast, feel free to follow us so you don't miss out on our next wild and tipsy adventures. Please follow us on the podcast platform that you are listening to us to right now, but also our Instagram page where we share the pictures of the plants that we discuss, but also the wine. Sasha does a really good job with a good description on the wine that we've tasted. And also,
and Sasha also is trying to do the TikTok at this point.
Not really. I just add whatever videos we have to TikTok as well. I find it difficult with TikTok. Like, I think I'm too old for it.
just follow her on TikTok with your for our co-host.
Well, no, the thing is, even with Balto's page, I actually do a better job on Instagram. Balto has his own little page, Balto the Spaniel, if anybody is interested in our little puppy adventures. But yeah,
he's such anyway, a gorgeous dog.
Don't forget to spread the word and keep it green.
And keep it tipsy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.